Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
TGIF, look at you. Hi, everybody.
Friday.
What's up? Ted off again. I've been trying to decide if I want to make up crazy things that Ted's doing rather than actually explain why he's not here one week out of the month. Ooh. I still haven't decided. We'll figure it out for April. Anyway, Ted's not here, so it's just myself, Becca, and Christiana.
And Hef.
And of course the cats. Yes, Hef. Hef is here. We will not be calling 911 on him.
Kidding.
It's fine.
I still don't. Like, I feel like a bucket of water or maybe a duvet would have taken care of that whole situation.
Or just a string to focus right. The cat on.
A laser pointer, perhaps?
Yeah.
One of my friends was posted on Twitch, like, you know, a spray bottle and a blanket would pretty much subdue any cat?
Right.
It's all you need, those two things. The spray bottle to distract them and then throw a blanket over them and you're done.
Yep.
You're done. You can get by them and get outside. Throw back to last show. If you haven't listened, go back and do that. And while you're doing that, and you're on NateDarlingShow.com, go ahead and click that Shop Amazon tab. Get yourself some deals. Easter's coming up. Passover's coming up.
Yeah.
Spring's coming up. Get your
spring gardening stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah, not a great year for that, though.
Well,
I'm not investing anything in living plants because I got to figure with no more rain, we could be facing up to 50% water.
Yeah.
Cutbacks by the summer, and along comes Debbie Downer.
But that's why you have to buy like lawn ornaments and you know, little
that's
gnomes
true.
And
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
things
and
that
some,
don't
like,
need water.
Cacti yeah. and succulents and some pebbles.
You get all that. You can start shopping early for Mother's Day and Father's Day too, because Amazon's got all sorts of deals, stuff you can't find anywhere else. And if you do it through NateDarlingShow.com, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and it does help support the show. So thank you very much for doing that. Let me get that out of the way first thing. Last show was at the very end. I mean, crazy. We didn't talk a lot about our previous week. How were you guys over the past week? Any fun, exciting things for you, Christiana?
Not tons. It was a little bit of a quieter week. I've got some fun work travel coming up. Too exciting, or that will have already occurred. Maybe by the time this both. But yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit of my quiet season during the year, which is good. And yet, there's still a lot to do that I'm just kind of trying to avoid. So that's always fun.
Let me ask you this. Did you catch the Australian Grand Prix as the Formula
oh, I
One
did.
Season started?
Yeah. Yeah, of course I did. Because, okay, I think it's safe at this point. There's no spoilers because you should have watched it by now.
Yeah, it's Friday. If you haven't seen the race,
too
yet,
late,
it's on you.
But you can leave now if ever hold your peace. But my favorite driver won, and I'm super psyched because Nico Rosberg is like my guy.
Yeah.
It's six.
It's a weird season. And I know you watched one race last year, Becca, but here's what they did in Formula One this year.
Shit got crazy.
They changed everything.
All of the formula.
Do they still drive cars? Yes.
They do, but
sort of.
They've changed the engine.
And they sound like motorcycles now.
Oh, that freaked me out. They
yeah,
sound
they sound
weird.
Super different.
So the cars sound different. They went from this super big V10 engine. They now drive V6s with turbo.
Basically like a Prius.
Yes. They Prius-ized them. And they've all
got weird, ugly noses that look like anteaters or elephants or other animals with weird noses.
Everything is very different. Everybody's still trying to figure out their cars, which is the case at the beginning of the season anyway. But because it's so new, everything has been sort of turned on its head. So it's really kind of a weird situation.
Rob was really hoping and waiting for cars just to, because there was all this talk about how, because they have very strict fuel requirements now, they're expecting half the track to be littered with cars that just ran out of gas. It didn't happen. It was terribly disappointing. But then we didn't realize, so we watched the whole thing and we're like, oh, it's so great. It's touching. It was the first time an Australian had podiumed, which is now a verb, at an Australian race. And we didn't realize till the next day, Rob saw this Formula One headline that said, you know, Jenson Button tears up over first podium after his father died. And we were like, Jenson Button wasn't on the podium.
Right.
What are you talking about? And it took a lot of Googling to figure out that they disqualified the Australian.
Oh, no.
Who won. Did you not know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, stupid America with its non-coverage.
Glad I brought it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so you learn new things. Yeah, so what's his name? Like Ricardo? Or
yeah, Ricardi.
Rich something. He, or Ricciardo, if you're the Ferrari team talking about him. Yeah, he was on, he got second place, and it was just like Australia's pride and joy, whatever. And then he got DQ'd for like a fuel pump rate violation or something. So he might have been going faster because he was getting more gasoline.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So weird. All weird. But it doesn't matter because my boy Nico, top of the podium, leader right now in the standings, and Vettel didn't finish the race, which is good because it's boring now. Super boring.
Well, to be fair, your boy Rosberg pretty much ran away with the race just the same way that Vettel did with most of them last year.
That's fine. He can do it. I just would, if he has a season, that's great. I'm happy with that.
The funny thing about Formula One racing, unlike a lot of others, is if the leader goes out and is like way ahead, they just start paying attention to like
the battle for 15th.
Yeah, it's like the battle for 15th, and they completely ignore the win. So it's like, yeah. There's like two laps left. It's like, and looks like he's going to win.
He won.
Unless something horrible is going to happen. It's just a very different non-American way of looking at things.
They seem to go both. It's like feast or famine. Either it's who's going to win and the pit stop, whatever, or we'll just have to watch something else because the winner's not going to be important anymore.
Yeah, who crashed out in the first corner and who's running away
right,
with things.
Yeah, it was good, though. I think it's going to be a fun season. We'll see what happens.
I love Australia because it's one of the few that I can actually stay up and watch live because it started at 11 o'clock Saturday night. So I'm like, I am going to stay up and I'm going to watch this.
But aside from watching out for any Facebook posts from like, you and three other people I know, since we're in America, it's generally pretty safe to DVR it and watch it because nobody cares. Nobody posts anything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what I have to worry about is like going to ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. If you go to sports stuff.
And because I'll look somewhere and it'll be just be one little headline and I'll be like, damn it.
Yeah.
So I have to avoid all of that.
So we need to watch. We'll have to do another little Formula One watch party
at some point. Yay. This season. Yeah,
yeah,
it'll be a good time. Maybe the Russian Grand Prix because they're in Russia for the first time.
Are we really gonna go there? I mean, come on, world. We gave him the Olympics and look what he did with it.
Yep.
We're gonna give him a Grand Prix. What's he gonna take next? I feel like if I'm like Estonia, I'm like, whoa, dude, don't. Like, I don't know, it seems weird to me. I'm not sure that might be something I actually will boycott, which will have no actual effect on anything.
Exactly.
But
like most boycotts. Sadly.
I know they don't, and I don't tend to do it, but I don't know. Putin got his Olympics. I don't think he should get that. We didn't go to Bahrain because there was all civil unrest and stuff.
Well.
So
either way.
And by we, I mean like the Formula One world.
Right.
But of which I apparently feel myself a part.
You've now adopted them.
They
good
are
for
my
you.
People. Well, not really.
No, that's fine.
But Nico Rosberg's super cute.
Dare to dream. That is the 0.1%. Those guys. Now, Becca, you experience. Is it pronounced Purim?
Purim. Yeah, it's a Jewish festival. As Christiana called it earlier, it's the fun Jewish holiday.
And fully Jewish.
Yeah, it was fully Jewish. And this was my first Purim. It's something that Ted grew up with, but somehow we've never celebrated together in all the time we've been dating. But this time we were ready, and it's a costume holiday, kind of like a Halloween thing. So
okay.
People dress up. Not as it's based on the story is celebrating an event as Ted was explaining it to me. You know, one of those times when people decided to kill all the Jews, but then it didn't happen. And so then we celebrate that, right?
One of these days we'll get them.
And so the story is actually from the Book of Esther, and it's sort of like an anniversary celebration of that story where this Jewish queen saves her people. And to celebrate, so you dress up in costume. And so we're going to the synagogue. And Ted's telling me to dress up, and I'm like, are people really going to be dressed up? Are they really? Because I don't know for sure, you know? And so we dress up because the theme was a Motown theme. They were doing a Motown themed version of this story from the Old Testament that night.
All of that sounds really funny to
and
me.
So we dressed up. Oh yeah, like all the songs were full of Jewish puns, like how sweet it is that you're a Jew. Like, you know, there was a musical review. And awesome. So he and I dressed up 60s and 70s style, you know, kind of funky. And we pull up and there's all these kids playing in the yard of the synagogue. None of them are wearing costumes. And I'm like, okay, the children are not wearing costumes. Should we get out of the car? Like, are you sure this is going to go okay? Because I have like a mini dress on, fishnets, a go-go boots, like the whole
You've
60s
gone
thing.
Full.
Right. And so we go inside. So I'm all nervous, right? Because the kids are all, they look super clean cut. There's no sign of any festivity on the outside of the synagogue. And Ted's like, come on, it'll be fine. We go inside. All the adults are wearing costumes and there are signs. There are signs right at the door that say dollar shots. And there's a table of booze. And I'm like, they're selling shots at the synagogue. Like, I've been here before. I've never seen this before. And Ted says it's a tradition. The tradition for Purim is that you have to get so drunk that you can't tell Mordecai from Haman, which is essentially you can't tell the hero of the story from the villain of the story. So it's a tradition to get hammered for Purim. So we bought a shot each and then they hand you all these noisemakers because the other tradition is while they're telling the story, every time they say the villain's name, everybody has to boo and like use these noisemakers called groggers.
It's
and
like
basically
a British pantomime.
Yeah. You have to interrupt the whole entire production and just be like, boo. And like everybody knows to just stop and wait, you know, everyone who's performing, they're expecting this to happen. In short, it was super fun and not like any religious experience I've ever had before. Like, I'm like, I'm wearing a mini dress and I just drank like, you know, creme de coco liquor shots. And now I'm like booing down the performers, you know. It was a really good time and I loved it.
You know, if they did more things like that, I think more people would be down with being Jewish. They'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, woohoo.
Let's do that. It sort of reminds me of when Kareem was telling us about people catching the Holy Spirit in Southern churches. That sort of excitement level. It's cool. And you're continuing on with your yoga?
I am. It was my switching now from my, you know, Jewish traditions to my Christian traditions. I'm doing Lent right now. And for Lent, I gave up sloth. So I'm essentially trying to just just move as much as possible and dance and do yoga as much as I can. And so last week I did 4 yoga classes 4 days in a row and I got out of my like gentle yoga into my power vinyasa yoga again, which
power vinyasa.
I know, which is like the kind where it's you sweat a lot and I shake a lot because I'm not super strong yet. And so basically by the end of last week, I was very, very sore.
And you had mentioned you went back to the class that made you cry back in January.
That is true.
And how did that go? Because I like it because I know this is going to go better than the one in January. how did that go?
Well, it did go a lot better because the first time I went with Ted and he was extremely new to yoga. You remember this was the class with the guy in the Speedo and the whole thing. The guy in Speedo was still there. Mm. And the teacher was actually like, everyone just watch him. He has perfect posture. And I was like, I can't watch him. But anyhow, the first time I was so nervous about how Ted was doing. And then I think part of me was like, I want to look cute in front of Ted and all this. And it was just like too much pressure. And I totally got like sad. But this time I ended up going by myself because Ted had something else to do. So I didn't have to like worry about looking hot in front of him, which was great because I did not. and sometimes to get through really hard yoga classes like that, I think you kind of have to give yourself permission. Like, I'm going to do what I can. And if I can't do it, I'm just going to get in child's pose and that's fine. And I don't care if anyone's judging me, you know? And that was pretty much my strategy. And I did 2 of those classes in 2 days. And I made it through.
Yay, congratulations.
Yeah.
I believe, Christiana, you were the one who said yoga, anytime it gets hard, child's pose.
Yeah.
Just immediately child's pose.
That's my favorite thing about yoga. I ran with it. I think one of the first classes, the instructor was like, you can always go back to child's pose. And really, as long as you can just, you should visualize yourself doing the pose perfectly. Even if you can't do it, just visualize it. And I'm like, I'm in. I'll sit here and I'll visualize all damn day.
Cool. And now Ted and I, we do a lot of yoga classes together. And it's more silly now, I feel like. Like, there's this one pose, dolphin. Do you know dolphin pose? It's like, I don't understand why it's called dolphin. It's kind of like a downward dog where you're resting on your elbows and trying to kick a leg or two in the air.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. And I'm so ungainly in it. And I can't even hold it for even a second. And I'm all wobbly. So I'm like, look, honey, I'm a dolphin. And he's just like cracking up because it just, I look terrible.
I went and got my very first sports massage this past week.
Ooh.
90-minute sports massage because.
Was it happy?
You know, in the end, it sort of was, but not in the way you're thinking. I've had this tightness in my right hamstring, like right up at the top of my right hamstring for quite a while now. And it's been impacting my ability to run because you start running, get sore, then you adjust to it and then you're throwing yourself off. And I'm like, all right, I have to deal with this. So last week I spent a fuck ton of money on making sure that I'm in decent shape to do things. Bought a mattress. I had a last Sunday mattress massage. Then I went to the chiropractor, and then I was like, you know what? Because the massage therapist, when she saw me before, said, next time, give me 90 minutes because there's a lot going on. That's a direct quote. So I said, all right, let's do it. So we did the 90-minute sports massage, and the difference between a regular massage and a sports massage is the sports massage includes stretching. The massage therapist will stretch you out in various ways.
Those are weird sexy poses.
Yeah. And normally, normally when you get a massage, you're nude. She was like, you probably want to keep your underwear on because there's a lot of stretching and the draping is just kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And once we did it, I realized, oh, yeah, that would have been kind of awkward. You know, even if you're not self-conscious, you know, it's just like, whatever. I know it's only a thin layer of fabric, but still the veneer of privacy is someone is, you know, inches from your groin is what you're looking for. But we got to like minute 88 of a 90-minute massage, and she's stretching me, and she's like, can you feel that when we stretch this way? And I said, yeah, I feel it here. And she's like, huh, that's interesting. So she did something, and she goes, now what about over here when we do it this way? And I said, yeah, I feel it here. And she goes, oh, okay. So I finally figured it out. And I'm like, okay. She goes, the tightness in the back of your right leg is because you're triggered by you need to stretch out your hip in front on the right side and in the back on the left side. Mm. So it's something I would have never figured out on my own, but because we finally figured that out, I'm now able to stretch and I'm properly, and I'm now able to run. I went the next morning, I ran 5K distance. So yeah, I'm back running.
Awesome.
And without pain, which is good because I've got a 5K coming up a week from tomorrow.
Yay.
Down in Anaheim at Angel Stadium.
Whoop, whoop.
So stoked for that one. I was starting to get to that point where I was like, am I going to have to walk this because I can't run? And then I'm like, fuck, I'm going to drive, you know, 6-7 hours to Anaheim to walk this like a lame fat bastard. And I was like, no, it's not okay. And also to that note, I went back on my diet last week because that was necessary too. We chronicled on the show that I lost a bunch of weight last year. I gained a portion of it back. I gained about half of it back. Which, when you consider the time frame, that's actually not bad because normally I would have gained all of it back in that time frame, just considering what was going on. But that's back in full force. So feeling healthy, being healthy, and good job, Becca, with the yoga. I've never heard of anybody giving up sloth. That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
It's going okay so far. I'm doing my best, but I'm excited for you too. It's spring now, and that means all the good fruits and vegetables are out.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, I tweeted this because I went to Costco on St. Patrick's Day, and the packets of raspberries they had were wearing the green. It was not good. But there were, like, this big thing of strawberries, so I got strawberries and a few other things. But yeah, it's weird because you go to Costco and it's like, I'm going to go to Costco and I'm going to get that. And oftentimes that's not there the next time you go. It's just kind of a weird, they have some things that are always there, but other things it's like, oh, we got a bunch of this now or a bunch of this now. But still, the local farmers markets aren't like fully buried up. So it's
coming.
It is. It'll be here soon. But I love those little tiny grape tomatoes because they're sweet and they're really easy to weigh out and wash. And I don't have to cut them up. It's like, eat them like candy. It's like candy sometimes. all right, moving on to the bulk of our show from us talking about us. There's a new thing going on now. Pop superstar, newly declared feminist icon, Beyonce, joins Jennifer Garner, Condoleezza Rice, and a bunch of powerful females and a couple of dudes in a video promoting leanin.org's new Ban Bossy campaign. Let's take a listen.
This is Ban Bossy. Take one.
Pushy.
Stubborn.
Stubborn.
Pushy.
Pushy.
Stubborn.
Stubborn.
Bossy.
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 When I was growing up, I was called bossy.
I think the word bossy is just a squasher.
Being labeled something matters.
By middle school,
girls are less interested in leadership than boys.
And that's because they worry about being called bossy.
We need to tell them it's okay to be ambitious.
We need to help them lean in.
Words matter.
Let's just ban the word bossy.
And encourage girls to lead.
To be strong and be ambitious.
Listen to your own voice.
There are no limits.
Dare to be you.
You can change the world.
Let's ban bossy.
Be brave. Be you.
Ban bossy.
Join us to ban bossy.
I'm not bossy. I'm the boss.
Encourage girls to lead. Take the pledge at banbossy.com.
Okay. So what do we all think of that? I'm just curious.
I'm torn between, I mostly support it. Part of me also maybe of the like reclaim bossy school of thought, but you know, I don't know, but I'm kind of lukewarm on the reclaiming concept generally. Cause okay. I had a friend on Facebook who posted a, completely straw man based rant from a, like a right leaning paper about, oh, so the world wants, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, liberal, crazy, fascist, feminazi that she is, wants to ban bossy. Well, we don't see the media up in arms about banning the word bitch. I'm like, yeah, we do. we see that too. I don't know. I we probably should ban the word bossy, and those labels do matter. And I certainly it may come as a big surprise to you and to listeners to know that I was also labeled bossy as a child.
No.
Yeah, and probably still am. Bossy and pushy. You know, and I am bossy and pushy enough where it didn't stop me from being ambitious as a girl, but I know plenty of girls for whom that is not the case. So, and I would hate for my kid to limit herself because somebody tried to tell her that, you know, wanting to be a leader was something to be ashamed of or to avoid.
Becca, what do you think?
I guess I'm wondering, is bossy something that you would call a little boy?
No.
Occasionally. I was called that at least a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it depends on the context of how you're using it, too. And normally for boys, if that comes out, it's when they are in a grouping and they only want to do things their way. It's like, we're going to do things my way. This is how I want to do them, and we're going to do things my way. That's bossy. And I don't think that's really gender specific. That's bossy either way. And that's bad. Getting people together and leading is good, and I think there's a difference, and I think kids need to learn the difference between the two. Obviously you're a little different personality type than Christiana. How has the word affected you?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't have like a personal sting about bossy, about that. I mean, I was an only child. I played with stuffed animals, you know, and there was no one to call me bossy. I guess I appreciate the campaign because I've certainly heard about it from a lot of places. And so it's getting people to think about how do we treat girls and how can we encourage them and nourish their leadership skills. And I think that's good. I think the actual word and whether it gets banned or not is less important than the concepts that they're bringing up. So I don't know. I'm glad we're talking about those concepts.
Yeah. And I'm sort of fallen with you on this. I'm not a fan of banning words, just to ban words. That message that was in there, everything that isn't ban bossy, I think is a fabulous message. Encourage girls to do things. I think you should encourage every kid to be able to do things and live up to their potential and do that sort of thing. It's also kind of interesting that Beyonce's husband has made a living with kind of misogynistic song lyrics and that sort of thing. I don't know if she's banned it from her home because I don't know that she's...
Well, that's not the same as That's not the same as bossy.
No, no, no. Oh no, it's
and they're not proposing like actual legislation to ban the word bossy. It's a alliterative, easy to remember, catchy handle for the discussion, like Becca said, the discussion that they want people to have about the way that we treat bossy girls.
Yeah, I think you take girls who might have a tendency in that and show them how to channel that into being leaders as opposed to being abrasive and, well, for lack of a better term, bitchy. You know, if you see leadership in somebody, you should try and foster them, show them how to make that work for them and how they can be better at that as opposed to trying to quash it.
Right.
Channeling as opposed to quashing is where I go with it. So,
yeah,
it's out there. And I think it's, you know, that's the one thing about it is you get celebrity behind stuff and people talk about it on podcasts and TV shows and such. So there we go. Here's another story that I called shenanigans on and it's the United Steaks of America. If each state could have only one meat, what meat would it be? And I know as a vegan, Becca, this is a little bit out of your area of comfort. So bear with us.
Do Brussels sprouts count? That's my vote.
And it does not. But this is why I'm going to say why I call shenanigans on this whole thing. In California, the state meat would be tofu. Their logic, it's a well-known fact that Californians don't eat meat, just tofu and kale. And to include kale on a list of state meats would just be ridiculous.
See, I feel like they just did that because there's only so many meats and they can say that. I wish that Californians didn't eat meat as a rule and that everybody really wanted tofu. That would be awesome. But I think they were probably just trying to diversify their little 50 meat grid.
Yeah, I think it was just lazy. They put hamburger for Connecticut, so they couldn't have burgers, although there's a ton of great burger joints in California that both started here and exist here. But what about tri-tip?
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
I think tri-tip is the one because it's not anywhere else. It's
very Central Coast.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't have a whole lot of other notoriety.
Yeah, it's very Californian. But some of the other interesting, my home state of Vermont got pot roast.
I love a pot roast.
Which is originally known as Yankee pot roast. According to E.B. White, to New Englanders, a Yankee is a Vermonter. That's not true.
What do they give in Idaho? Idaho's picture?
Idaho, that is a yak.
I don't think of yaks as an innately American animal.
Well, they are shaggy, majestic, cow-like creatures native to the Himalayas. Their bodies are well-suited to high altitudes and cold temperatures of Idaho. So Idahoans, no fool, they brought some over in the 80s and 90s and promptly started eating them. So,
all right, I guess so.
If you go to places like the Flaming Grill and get a yak burger, it probably came from Idaho. Some of the other interesting ones, Florida got gator. this one blew it. Mississippi got pork rinds.
Yeah.
Which are also known as cracklins.
Chicharrones.
Fun fact, I used to love those when I was a child.
Before you knew what they were?
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
I never liked them.
Once I knew what they were, I was less interested. And it's not for the same reasons that you are. It's like...
It's pig skin, right?
Yeah.
But like crispy duck skin or crispy chicken skin is delicious. So why wouldn't crispy pig skin be good too?
Oh, no, it is.
I don't like pork rinds. It's having just said that.
To make it dry and powdery is just the weird thing.
Mm. Well, my favorite food is popcorn, and I kind of like snack food that's just sort of like puffed, salty nothing. And I think that's kind of what they are. So when I was a kid, I dug them.
Montana got Rocky Mountain oysters.
See, yeah. People in Montana don't want to eat that over a burger or a steak. This is just for fun.
Colorado got mutton. And anytime I've heard Rocky Mountain oysters, it's been in relationship to Denver. So I don't know what that's all about. Oregon got wild boar, which makes very little sense to me.
No, it makes sense to me because there's all these like artisanal foodie people there, but they're charcuterie.
That looks like what Seattle got, though. It's got sliced meats.
Yes.
Are they charcuterie?
Seattle got salami.
Salami. Okay, well.
I guess they couldn't go with... Well,
because they couldn't spell charcuterie.
Well, here's the thing. They made it about red meat because Maine got surf and turf. Because if I'm thinking Seattle, I'm thinking seafood. I'm not thinking necessarily salami, but
No, that makes sense too, because it's like the hipster meat crowd.
So they're not counting. So fish doesn't count as meat. It's correct. Not animal. They're talking about like meat. But they do include. I mean, do they include fowl at all or no?
No.
Is it just?
They do include
hooved.
Rabbit. Well, there's a rabbit.
I ate that once. I didn't like it.
Yeah, rabbit.
I ate frog ones. I did like that.
Would you care to guess the state that has squirrel?
Is it West Virginia?
It is West Virginia.
Oh, bless them. I knew it. I couldn't see what it was.
You just knew it was that part of the country.
I once lost, fun fact, tangential fun fact.
Yes?
If the audience doesn't mind. did campaign work in West Virginia for a presidential campaign once and scheduled an event for the first day of squirrel season, and nobody came. I didn't know that was a thing. And existed.
It is.
And everyone was like, oh, no, you're not going to get any fat squirrel season. Didn't know squirrel had a season. But it was explained to me that it's actually a much more challenging sport than hunting deer because do you know how fucking small squirrels are?
And they're quick.
And they're dirt colored and they run on the ground. So, yeah.
And climb trees.
Yep.
Utah got gelatin.
Because of their jello molds and stuff and like church picnics. That's adorable.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I mean, yes, part of gelatin is from hooves of animals, but
that was funny.
It was at very strange. And the state of Hawaii got spam.
Oh, yeah. They love spam.
They do love spam.
No idea why, but they do.
Third thing.
You can get spam sushi at the 7-Eleven.
You can.
Don't but know should you?
Yeah, I don't know that anything should be consumed from the 7-Eleven that wasn't properly preserved and in a ton of chemicals. But
isn't that the point of spam, though? Does it even go bad?
I don't know. My dad likes spam.
Eventually. I had spam. I did have a little spam appetizer once. It was like crispy crumbled spam, like little pizzetta things. It was delicious. I don't know what it tasted good.
Because it's super processed, so I'm sure they have just the right amount of salt.
Yeah, it's been scientifically perfected to be delicious. Right.
Yes, of course. By the geniuses at Hormel. So the rules were no two states could have the same meat. Meat means mammal.
Except for tofu.
Yeah, obviously.
They're just being jerks.
And stews and sandwiches are not meat per se. So that might be why they excluded tri-tip, although you can have tri-tip that isn't a steak. And Luxembourg got an honorary mention because they eat more meat per capita than anywhere. They got pork collar, which I've never heard of before.
Pork collar?
It's the national dish of Luxembourg, apparently. Who knew? Luxembourg also very small, so their meat per capita means very little to me. So anyway, that was something on Slate that was kind of interesting. Also of interest, reached your fifth sexual partner? Then stop. Five is the magic number for finding Mr. or Miss Right.
Nope.
Nope. Can we all three of us just say nope. Absolutely not?
Yeah. Yes, we can.
I mean, which five? Like which, like it would be like multiples of five.
Supposedly, it's the fifth one.
Just the fifth.
Yeah. So once if you pass by your fifth, you're done. Apparently,
I had to think really hard about this when I saw you put this on here and like think like, okay, who is number five? And it took a while for me to like figure it out. And then I was like, oh, no way! Like no way is that the right person?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really sure, but I'm gonna go with no. Also, I really hope my mom doesn't listen to this because that statement right there is going to cause her to pass the fuck out.
And then I don't know if you saw at the bottom of this article, they had like a formula of that you could like figure out like whether the person you're dating right now is the one. And I was like, okay, I'll just do this for fun to see what the deal is. And I realized, first of all, that I didn't even have enough information about Ted to complete the survey.
Wow.
Because it had to be about both of us. But it was so crazy. It was like, you had to assign numerical values to like, how much do I care about money and how much does Ted care about, I don't know what, my boobs or how much, you know, and then multiply that by 0.8 and then divide by 2 times the number of partners you both had. Like, it was nuts. And I'm like, who has to do this to figure out if they're in a good relationship or not? Like, you should just.
It's desperate, people. This is from the Daily Mail, so they're normally full of crap.
I'm the fifth person.
How many sexual partners have you had? If the answer is five, then the search for the one could be over. MSN has developed a love formula that can work out the key ingredients for a successful, long-lasting relationship, and has revealed that the number of sexual partners someone has can affect their relationship success. The formula has been devised...
only if you're honest about it.
for those looking to give their love life a bit of spring clean, be that by taking their relationship to the next level or by completely reevaluating it. According to the 2,000 men and women surveyed to create the formula, we're most likely to settle with lover number 5. Exactly a quarter of both men and women believe their partner should have had a fair amount of experience with 4 sexual partners before them, though 1 in 5 men are holding on to the tradition believing that their ideal woman, that they should be their ideal woman's first partner. That's stupid. If you're a guy and you believe that, you're a moron. You are a moron.
Totally. Because... yeah, like, I don't know. It's just there. What's in it for you, really?
Well, then you get to take this blank canvas and paint upon it with your brushed penis the picture of lovemaking that you wish. That's the idea behind it. But the fact of the matter is, she hasn't figured out what she likes, what she wants, what she doesn't like, and yeah, it's not going to work out.
And if you're past a certain age too, I think, then I don't know, then there could be some real religious values or some trauma or some reasons, you know. I think once you get past a certain age, if somebody still like has no experience, then there's probably something a little bit more than they're just waiting for the right brushed penis.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're either super religious or they've got some severe mental problems.
Or they got married like super young or.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you get married and you've had like one partner, or your first marriage was your first sexual partner, and sorry, I had to move Hef because I was afraid he was going to stop the recording.
A little cat wrangling.
You got to do that every now and then.
Cat does not approve of this topic.
Yeah. Well, one cat.
He's Hef. You think he would be like, you should have 50.
Right? 5 partners.
Yeah. They should be twins.
To be fair, he's been neutered. So.
Oh, he doesn't care anymore. He's not. Like, stop talking about it. I'll never know.
He's just playing with his string is really all that's going on. Apparently, being funny is a big turn on when it comes to personality. It's the number one character trait for both men and women when they're looking for a partner. How you act between the sheets also matters. Some 26% of men believe that a successful relationship needs to involve good sex in order to succeed, whereas only 13% of women believe this to be true.
Okay.
I believe those numbers to be incredibly low.
Okay, I was just about to say that, too. When I read that article, I was like, only 26% and 13%? Like, who is like, oh, no, if the sex is bad, the relationship is probably still going to be fine. Is there anyone who thinks that?
No. No, I mean, at a certain point, I would guess once you've been together forever and you've sort of established this, we're ma and pa, and this is just what we do because whatever, maybe. But yeah, no, that number. Listen, these men are lying. This whole thing is bullshit because this is obviously a bunch of liars. Because yeah, there's no way those numbers are even remotely accurate. I have to believe that at the very minimum, 50% of women would say that they need to have a fulfilling sex life. I would say at a minimum. And for guys, I would put that number at
100.
I'll say 80 to 90, because I do have some friends for whom, and I can't comprehend it. I cannot understand it for the life of me. They're like, sex just not really that important to me. And I'm like, what? I don't. Okay. You might as well explain physics to a cat, because I don't get that. But anyway.
Yeah, I was surprised. I could see if it was like, I mean, because that question doesn't have to do with frequency or type or anything. It's just sort of like, it should be good, whatever your definition of good is. And that so many people would be like, like, that surprised me.
Yeah. So it's MSN. So, yeah, if you think Bill Gates knows the secret, here's the secret from Bill Gates. Get really, really rich. That helps. Because nerdy poor Bill Gates, probably not pulling Melinda Gates' tail. Just saying. There was an event recently in L.A. Where men wore skirts.
Yay.
it's the first man skirt metro ride.
Why not?
They're supposed to get out your kilts and caftans. It's the first annual one. It's going to be coming up in May 31st, with the hopes of spreading the idea that men can wear skirts too. Angelina men are encouraged to proudly don their skirts from 3 to 5 p.m., apparently only 2 hours, and meet up at different metro stops throughout the city. But folks globally are encouraged to do the same. Women are asked to support their male friends at these events, but to refrain from wearing skirts and to stick to pants, shorts, or leggings that day. The event is helmed by Joshua Castro, the creator of Women Wear Pants, Let Men Wear Skirts Facebook page, which highlights the man skirt movement, which does not exist, that has been growing, especially over the last couple of years. It does not exist. He hopes that to dispel the discrimination behind wearing a skirt, that a man wearing one would be thought of as gay. Quote, the movement on the whole also addresses a variety of issues that arise from the topic of men in skirts, such as homophobia, sexism, gender stereotypes, etc., and seeks to break harmful patterns of discrimination in today's Western culture. The event, it's based off a Pulitzer No Pants Metro ride, which actually does happen all over the world. Stupid cat. encourages men to wear different skirts, including utility kilts, dresses, and shirt dresses. Castro was inspired to launch the event because of his personal experience wearing man's skirts and also from a short story he published in East LA College's literary journal, Milestone 2012, entitled Julio Buys a Skirt. However, the concept isn't likely to get men to dress up like women. The idea is to dress boys up like the idea isn't to dress boys up like girls or to turn men into women, but simply to destigmatize the idea of males in skirts, therefore removing the harmful rhetoric in today's society that's bullseyed on the minds of young men since childhood. So, what do you ladies think of that?
I think that the men's skirt movement is a thing. I don't know how organized it is, but I mean, I think between sort of the Burning Man utility kilt thing that's been growing and growing, and then you probably remember there was that really sweet article about the dad who wears a skirt in Germany with his little boy who wanted to wear a skirt, and he walks him to school in a skirt, and that was very charming. And then I've seen a couple of fashion blogs, like men in skirts fashion blogs, you know, where men are trying to, whether it's for sort of like an academic gender equality reason or because they really do find women's clothing attractive, you know, men are sort of dressing up and stuff like this and kind of trying to break the barriers. So I do think it is a movement. Nate, would you wear a skirt on the metro ride?
I would wear a kilt as I'm Scottish.
Do you have a kilt?
I do not. They're expensive.
Yeah, they are.
An actual kilt is expensive to get one. I don't know. I think a lot of it, I would. I'm not going to. I think the idea is probably as much along the lines of, because when you're a guy and you're in a formal setting, like an office setting, you're expected to wear pants, mm-hmm. long pants. Shorts are not okay. They're not okay. But women can wear skirts and dresses, and that's perfectly acceptable.
Women are, sometimes you're required to, or it's emphasized to, like there's a common thing in the legal profession that a pantsuit is not as formal as a skirt suit.
So you have that. So if you're a guy and you're like, hey, I want to have a breeze blowing and I want to be comfortable and I don't want to have to wear pants all the time, maybe that's your thing. Or maybe you're on the other side and going, hey, you know, if women want to wear pants all the time, why can't we wear skirts? Or this guy's just really, 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 really liberal and wants to get in touch with every side of himself and go to town. As long as I don't have to see your twig and berries, I don't care. I don't care. Go ahead and wear what you want.
I think the whole kilt and docks thing is a good look, actually. I don't know. I think there's certain kinds of very masculine skirts that really work.
I mean, I would wear a kilt, but it would have to be to a ceremony or something like that. Like a costume for an event as opposed to just casually wearing one about town, because I'm pretty sure if you roll into Edinburgh, you're not going to get a bunch of dudes roaming the streets in kilts.
Too bad.
It's always a shame. They're cute.
But so that's coming up if you want to do that end of May. By the way, it's also going to be a first, as people will be riding the subway in LA.
Love riding the subway in LA.
I've never done it.
You should. It's awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
It's usually something's being filmed there because no one's on it, and right. They can fake like it's the New York subway or something.
If the New York subway never had
anything. LA public transit, not always the best. When it does work, it's really awesome. The subway's cool. Some of the station art is like amazing.
It's hidden.
Highly recommend
it. Hidden deep underground.
Highly, highly recommend it.
So this Gawker blog called Valley Wag asks the question: is San Francisco America's new worst place? Is it? There are bad people in every town, but New York has long managed to stay on top of the prick heap.
New York is still the worst place,
despite steep competition from LA and Portland. But the latest issue of New York Mag raises the possibility of a Silicon Valley usurper. The case against New York, the people, the places, the prohibitive cost of leaving your apartment, the complete absence of apartments, interns who line up around the block for experimental pastries. The case against San Francisco, a city Kevin Roos says has become, quote, in many ways more New Yorkish than New York itself, is fleshed out and considerably. Take everything about New York and overlay an Instagram filter of oblivion at the newest of new money. There's a frat Mason. It's a neighborhood that's been overrun by what they're calling white collar man babies. Quote, on a recent Saturday, there were dudes in Duke t-shirts and American flag trunks playing frisbee and cornhole. One drank Bacardi straight from the bottle. Women with high blonde ponytails cheered between glances at their iPhones. And you can see more evidence of the transformation in the marina, the district of boutiques and cupcake bakeries on the city's north side, where people alternately compare to the Upper East Side in Murray Hill, where it's possible to see every varietal and shade of Lululemon yoga pant on a single street.
Marina has always been douche central, and I can say always probably with a confidence covering at least the past decade,
sure,
but acting like there's been some kind of sea change in the marina in terms of who lives there is stupid.
There's also
has always been frat boy row.
Yeah, it's also there's an anonymous San Francisco writing about the dating scene saying, if you're an attractive woman in tech, odds are you've hooked up with a fair number of people in the industry. I'm probably at the lower end of what these women are trying to hook up with, but I've hooked up with almost all of them. So that's kind of judgy. At least it doesn't snow, but can a better climate cancel out a worse society? Are all the would-be bankers flocking to startups making a horrible mistake, or are they both equally miserable places? Becca, you're going to New York soon? You've been to both places. Which do you think is worse?
I don't know. That's a really negative article.
It is.
You know? Like, I don't know. I love San Francisco. I mean, I don't know how people afford to live there, but, you know, much of my family lives there, and Ted's from there, and Ted's family lives there, and we go there, and we have wonderful times. And when I go to New York, I'm in seminary with lots of beautiful people, and then I get to have lunch with my friend Bailey, and that's really fun. And I don't know any of these people, these tech banker people. So I guess that's a whole different part of the city that I don't see.
Christiana, what do you think?
I think that article is bullshit. I think New York is still worse than most any other city. Not really. I mean, most New Yorkers are just fine. But I get tired of New York being the default everything for the entire country. Everything is, you know, it's not, as far as I can tell, there's no liberal or conservative media bias. There is, however, an East Coast bias with a heavy slant on New York.
Yes, absolutely.
Whatever happens there is the most important. Whatever happens there is the thing we talk about. Everything is set up for the Eastern time zone, and they can all go fuck themselves.
The Tonight Show is there now.
Yeah, super bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super bullshit.
Absolutely. But hey, you know, I'm just straightforward. I got a New York. No, being a dick is being a dick. You don't get to write it off by, oh, that's just how we are in New York. No, that's just you being a dick.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool.
Or tool.
Whoa. All right. First up in cooler tool, the fifth partner. The fifth partner, Becca.
Oh, my personal case, tool.
Christiana.
Tool.
I didn't bother to go through and figure out who the fifth partner was. I think this whole theory is bullshit, so Tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, I think we've already answered this. Men in Skirts, Christiana.
That's very cool.
Becca?
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, especially if there's an updraft. It's fine. Just, I don't want to, don't go mini skirt. Do not go mini skirt, that's all I'm saying. And finally in Cooler Tool, San Francisco. Becca?
Cool.
Christiana?
It's fine.
It's teetering on the brink, but San Francisco is still, as of this recording date, it's still cool. And yes, not having ice storms and snow does play a big fucking part in it, pompous dickweeds. Of course it does. You know, that just smacks of someone who's spent way too much time inside because it's wintertime and they can't go out.
Yeah, they're like, look at those douchey people playing Frisbee.
Yeah, in January.
In the sun.
Yeah, they're out there playing Frisbee, drinking Bacardi in January.
They're the worst people.
Yeah, because they can do that in January. I love it. Cause having moved here from where it snows and is ass cold, like last week, there was like 18 inches of snow at my dad's house.
Wow.
Like this storm. They're getting storms all the time. And when I first got out to California, I remember just being so stoked on it and taking pictures. And I had like some East Coast friends, one of whom has moved out here since then, who basically stopped following me on Facebook because he got mad seeing all of the nice pictures. And it's a phenomenon because I know other people who've made the same move. And this one person in particular, she posts a ton of pictures and a ton of like, rub it in your face, you sitting in the snow people. Pictures like Sunday when it was 80 degrees here, she posted a picture of her feet and obviously her bare legs. She's wearing shorts or a skirt or something. And there was a fountain and green grass. And that was the day it was like 10 degrees back in New Hampshire where she's from.
Oh.
So that might be taking it a little too far. Just saying. But if you live in California and you're from here, you don't really have the full, I don't think you have the full appreciation for it unless you've gone through something else. I mean, you could have, if you've lived somewhere else for a little while, you can go, oh my God, I never really appreciated it. But if you've always lived in this climate, you're like, I don't know. It's just what I'm from.
It's funny. Like the other places I've lived are like hotter. I've never really lived someplace colder, you know?
Where else have you lived?
Well, like India, you know, crazy hot. I lived in Hawaii, which was actually, you know, nicer and balmier than California even. I lived in upstate New York for a while, but only, I lived there for 6 months, but it was the summertime, so it was just hot and sweaty and like, you know.
Now, when you say upstate, where upstate?
Rhinebeck.
Okay.
Which is like a little more than an hour by train out of New York City up the Hudson. It's on the Hudson.
Not really upstate.
That's what I was kind of curious about. Yeah. That's only upstate if you're
waiting for
the
East Coast judgment here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's only you're absolutely correct. That's designated as upstate by people who live in the city and are from the city.
Right.
It's this whole thing. There's sort of like a San Francisco LA fight, northern southern, that goes on where upstate really should in New York start from Albany and north. But basically if you talk to somebody who's from the city and on the East Coast, the city is New York, not San Francisco. Anything that's like more than a half hour north of the city is upstate.
Okay, the reason I say upstate, because it was in the 90s that I lived there, and the reason that I say that is because everyone here, when you say I live in New York, assumes you mean New York City.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, automatically. So I always say that just to sort of make it clear that I don't mean that I lived in New York City.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I was just curious where it was.
I one time called my mom to LOL because I was going to Ohio, and I said I had to get ready for my trip back east, and she was like, no. That's not back east.
East, though.
I know, but it's the Midwest.
It is, but it is the Eastern time zone.
It is, yeah, but it's the Midwest.
It absolutely is. This article caught my eye, mostly because it's weird, from Salon, How to Enjoy an Orgy.
Really?
Yep. It's the secret group sex that no one tells you. You can and should say no. I learned this lesson firsthand. The article, let's see, who is this from? From El Fam. Full stop. The orgy invitation email arrived in my inbox, unbidden and sent straight to Gmail. Whoever was behind the PR arm of the organization knew me personally. The subject line started tantalizingly, "This St. Valentine's Day," read in bold text. And the email ended by endeavoring me to come and join us on our journey down the rabbit hole, or any hole you'd prefer. I stared at the message for it to rest like a red mouth at the tip of my priority inbox. Then I pitched this story to my editor because, you know, that's what you do. The night of February 14th, I washed my hair with lavender Dr. Bronner's, cut my fingernails and painted my toenails poppy red, shaved my legs and labia, hopping on one foot in my tiny shower, picked out a pair of silky underwear, and then very carefully, so as not to tear the nylons, rolled on a pair of black thigh highs, which I clipped to a $75 garter belt that I bought online my freshman year of college. That seems expensive.
Yes.
Then I pulled the dress over my head and went on my way to the designated address, which had come in.
Congratulations, she can get dressed. Good job.
Right. I know. This is like three paragraphs.
skip to the end.
Yeah. I have to
it's
add
like
this.
The Gordy Little of orgy journalism. I know. I can't stand these stories of like, I'm a no person and, you know, like, you don't know me from anyone else, but I'm going to tell you how to be an expert at something that I tried one time just for my job.
Right.
Yeah. Here's basically all you need to know. If you're a lady and you want to participate in an orgy, just show up, because it's going to be just a bunch of guys for the most part.
It's kind of funny, this whole, like, I got an invitation to an orgy in my inbox. I'm like, I get like 20 of those a day. They are spam.
I love this line. The cold winter air blew up my skirt and moved between my legs. Yeah, thanks. Then it goes into something about monkeys. Then arriving at the apartment, which smelled like incense. I mean, this sounds like a terrible movie. Here we go. Group sex induces a fugue state of touching where your vision tunnels into a starry blur of hands and mouths and your vocabulary narrows by necessity into yes, no, please, stop, and harder. After my fifth glass of wine, I decided I wanted to lie down and have people grope me gently as though I were... No, this is just
Part of me just feels like it's irresponsible of her editor to even like give this as an assignment, although I'm sure she's an adult. But
at salon.
Seems weird.
Oh, I know.
This is sad.
Skipping ahead. Anyway, I didn't meet someone. It was the handcuffs that did it. He had brought a pair, I mean, and he was sad that he hadn't found a chance to use them. And I perked up at that and went to join him across the room, where I held the cuffs in my hands and played with their shiny black metal tongues and clipped one on my wrist, then in the other. How do I get them off? I asked. He pressed the quick release tabs and I sprang free, then clicked them back on again. The metal was cool against my skin. I liked the way the chain swung between my wrists. Here's a tip. Before you put on handcuffs, know how to take them off. Know that there actually is a key. Or some way of getting them up. That's just a pro tip.
It's a good one.
Because we were at a sex party, we had sex. If we had met at any other kind of party other than
we would have had other things at that party, like like
chocolate.
A pizza party, or we would have worn pajamas if it was a pajama party, ice cream party. I would have done that.
Yeah, it's a long, boring about, yeah, she had sex with a dude she just met, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So where's her incredible wisdom about what we're all supposed to do?
Yeah, again, if you're a lady, just take a shower and show up. You'll be fine. If that's what you want. If you don't have group sex with a bunch of guys and you're a woman, it's really not that hard.
She lost me at shaved her labia.
That's where she got me interested. Mm. She lost me when she started talking about baboons, which was shortly thereafter. Whatever. I was like, so you got an anonymous email and you just decided to roll out. I mean, this is the way that people end up dead in a ditch.
Yeah, but it's also the way that young journalists, like, I don't know, when you're young and you're female as a journalist, if you write candidly about sex and you get a lot of clicks, and then, you know, it's like a weird way of selling yourself to sort of further
Lena Dunham for this. Because this is the sort of thing that, you know, she's...
Oh, it existed long before
her. No. Yeah, but like in the Showgirls, that's like a long, like, oh, I want to write about this, blah, blah, blah. But the Showgirls makes me angry.
I've never seen it.
It just... I'm watching it because it's one of those things that you have to watch to sort of stay up on what's going on, if you have HBO especially. But it's interesting that there have been a couple of episodes this season. I'm like, I get to the end and I had laughed a few times and I enjoyed the episode. And it was not by Lena Dunham or Judd Apatow. Although there were, what is going on?
For the first time in the history of this show, Ace is climbing into my lap. And he already sat on Christiana's lap today, too. I don't know what is going on, but it's really good. Oh, don't leave. No, he like, before he decided to stay, he turned around.
I think he's going to take what would normally be Ted's chair and just sort of hang out there. That's fine. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I clicked on it. I read it. It was just like, really? This is a story? Why are you? No.
What journalism? And
that's it's you know, all of the good news is on the internet.
Yeah.
I like honesty above all other things. Well, there was a 19-year-old Boston Red Sox prospect. His name's John Denny. He was drafted in the third round last year. He's apparently not very smart, but he is honest. According to a police report obtained by Yahoo's Jeff Passan, he was stopped by Fort Myers police on Thursday morning of last week for driving erratically. He was cited for driving with a restricted license, at which point he offered his refreshingly honest explanation for why he was out at 2:22 a.m. Quote, when asked by police why he was in the Fort Myers Beach area, Denny, according to police, replied, partying and looking to get some pussy.
All right.
No,
well,
word. Yeah.
Refreshingly honest.
Yeah, you got to like that. So no word on whether he attempted to high-five the cops after explaining himself. Unfortunately, his night did not end there. He called a friend to come pick him up, but a few hours later, police spotted him getting into his truck and driving it out of a parking lot, where he was once again pulled over and tried the big timer routine on the cops. According to police, he said that he was a Boston Red Sox player and he didn't care. He had money and made more money than we would ever see. When handcuffed, he said he'd be out in no time because of who he played for and that he made $3 million a year. Yeah, he does not make $3 million a year. Because
probably not.
Not yet. Maybe one day. But
dream big.
Are we at the stage now where celebrities and general people can realize that anything they say to the cops can show up in a news article? Like, we've seen enough of these now. It's like, it's not really a private conversation that you're having, so you should be on some polite professional behavior.
Yeah, that's gonna have to serve for Florida Corner, because we're running woefully behind on the show today. So that's Florida Corner. It wasn't intending to be, but it is. So there you go.
Down on the corner. There. Now it's official.
It is absolutely official. Thank you. According to Pornhub, because they are the source that knows, they have stats. Which area do you think? What have you read the article?
I don't think I read this one.
Which section of the country watches more gay porn than any other part?
The South.
It is the South.
I'm just guessing. It's usually the answer for stuff.
It is. The South is always the answer. It's interesting, too, that every single state in the South watches porn at a higher rate, a higher percentage than the average states where gay marriage is legal. I don't know that there's any sort of correlation between that or what, but
it's all just being shown as like warnings in church basements for why you have to fight the gay devil. I think that's
maybe
my theory.
it's all in the basements.
Yeah.
For states that have legalized gay marriage, the top three consumers of gay porn are Hawaii, New York, and California. And on the flip side, where same-sex marriage is not legal, the top three are Mississippi, Louisiana, at a close second, and then Georgia. So they're watching gay porn everywhere. You know, the lowest percentage of gay porn watching, would you care to guess that state, Becca?
Of gay porn watching?
The lowest percentage of gay porn watching. Now, the high percentages are like California's 5.3, Mississippi is 5.6. So it's still a relatively low percentage.
Utah? I don't know.
No, Utah's 3.8.
So there's lower than that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, Colorado is lower than that. Wyoming is lower than that.
Even though it's Brokeback Mountain country?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
The lowest percentage of gay porn watching, Montana.
Yeah. Oh, they have a lot of stuff to do.
2.6%, a lot of hiking. Idaho and Idaho and North Dakota are next at only 2.8%. Every place else is at least 3%.
I feel like those are states that maybe people live in cabins and they just don't watch much of anything on the internet.
That could be. If you just got dial up.
Yeah,
you're probably
gonna watch the gay porn.
Buffering,
yeah.
buffering.
Yeah, it's not good, and yeah, it's if you got to wait that long. I remember the dark days of dial up. internet porn was not what it once became. But anyway, let's move forward with the show, because we've reached the point when we do this and I play this
show.
Welcome to our little town.
Yeah.
Small town news.
All right, we're going back to North Dakota because I love Grand Forks.
Yay.
Just because they're small.
I like forks just generally, but I like a lot of dishware. And
what about sporks?
I like sporks. Not as much as other people do.
Some people are in love with them.
I prefer people to just pick a fucking side already.
Well, if you can only carry one thing.
Knife. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I don't know.
Headline, annual sugar beet trade show finds optimism in planting season.
Oh.
Kelly Brantner, a fourth generation sugar beet farmer, has seen tough times before. But it doesn't get much tougher than this. Brantner, a Felton, Minnesota farmer and secretary of the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association, said of historically low sugar prices that have crippled his industry's profitability. Another planting season is nearing, however, and Brantner and others involved in the area's sugar beet industry says optimism is in order. Brantner attended the 52nd annual International Sugar Beet Institute on March 12th. The conference is the world's largest indoor sugar beet trade show.
The largest indoor one.
Yes. I don't know if there's a larger outdoor one, but it is. The Red River Valley is the nation's leading sugar beet growing region. An estimated 3,000 to 4,000 people will attend the trade show, and about 125 companies will exhibit their products. Every exhibit has a connection to the sugar beet industry, which I didn't actually know was a thing, so I feel ignorant. Anyway, Bob Cornea, the Institute's longtime exhibit coordinator, died in a traffic accident last year. That's sad. He was a lifetime farmer in Crookston. His image was displayed on video screens on the walls of the exhibit hall. Bob's looking down on us, Brantner said. He was honored in a special presentation at the Institute on March 12th. The show began in 1963 in Crookston and now alternates between Alaris Center and the Fargo Dome in Fargo.
Fargo Dome.
Fargo Dome. That sounds like a battle.
It sounds amazing.
When the event was last held in Grand Forks in 2012, sugar prices and industry enthusiasm were high. Since then, world record production and growing Mexican imports have pushed down prices to their lowest levels since the 80s. Sugar prices, though still low, have risen a bit lately. So, who knows? Sad. I didn't know there was a sugar beet. I knew there was sugar cane.
Oh, yeah, sugar beet. Yeah, I've heard of that.
So ignorant.
Yeah, sugar beet.
People, did you know there was a sugar beet? I didn't think so. I'm betting most people did not.
Call in. Let us know.
Yeah, send us a complaint that you did not know
what
sugar beets
were. If you
want to
buy some sugar beets or a book about sugar beets.
Oh, there has to be some sort of book about
growing sugar
beets.
Probably should do it through Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. NateDarlingShow.com. Shop Amazon time. Yeah, it's a big deal. So these things happen in small towns. But yeah, so good luck, sugar beeters. Sugar beaters?
The beat goes on.
Like that. Hey.
Hey.
I have to Google Fargo Dome.
Fargo Dome. I can't think of the Fargo accent. Somebody needs to do the two men enter, one man leave, but like in Fargo speak.
Oh, two men enter.
Well, they.
Don't you know?
Oh, it's home of North Dakota State Bison football.
Woohoo!
Wow.
It is an indoor athletic stadium in Fargo, North Dakota, on the campus of North Dakota State University. Opened in 1992, it's owned by the city of Fargo and built on university land, and will seat 19,000 people. So, be interesting.
That's a lot of sugar beet thinkers.
Sugar beet aficionados.
Yeah.
It's what they do. So, thanks. That'll do it. Sugar beets. We've learned a little something. Talked about some stuff.
Sounds like the weekend's starting now.
It is. It's time to start the weekend. You all have a safe weekend, everybody. A new Well Hung podcast will be there for your ears on Monday.
Oh, you should check out the 48-hour comedy marathon at the Sacramento Comedy Spot. Yeah. Also this weekend, if you're so inclined.
You can do that if you want to.
You like hours and hours of comedy.
Sure.
You have nothing to do at 2 a.m. How often at 2 a.m. are you like, what do I do now?
You're roaming around in the middle of the afternoon.
Go see a show.
Yeah,
partying, looking to get some pussy.
Yeah. Partying, looking to get some pussy.
That could happen.
Sure.
Who
yeah.
knows?
Head over to Lowbrow. There's some dudes there for that, too. Partying, looking to get some pussy, drink some beers. That's what they do. Yeah, so that'll do it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We do appreciate it, and we appreciate all of your shopping through Amazon. Ted, back next week, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Missed you, Ted. Love you, Ted. We all love you, Ted. We all love you, Ted, because you are
fully Jewish.
Not just for that reason, but because we do. All right, if you're wondering what this is, it's Lindsay Lohan singing at you. I picked it. It's called Bossy.
Is it new or old?
Oh, it's old.
Oh, okay.
It's before all of her problems.
Right.
When she was going to be the young pop star and movie star. She was going to be the female Elvis of a new generation. I don't know. Anyway, listen or turn it off now. Show's over anyway. We'll see you on next week. Bye-bye. Punishment can be severe.